Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, she is. This is the best way to start 2018 is with the Huli Sunny in the building. What's happening?
I'm good, Dali. I'm just trying to swipe this thing so that I can also be. I'm trying to do cool kids thing, then go live.
Okay,
at the
so
same
I'll
time
tell everyone and, about you then know, while
I'm,
you
while
do
I'm
that.
Swiping
yeah.
across.
So I'll even read the words on the page in front of me here with a very. By the way, Huli Sunny has such a dope logo now. Because, I mean, what is your name if you don't have a logo that's got like a whole like diamond situation happening? It's really, really cool.
Come on, somebody.
It says, yeah, seasoned TV host and radio presenter Huli Sunny Ravela has been in the entertainment industry for more than 2 decades. There's some cool stuff, but I really like the 3 words at the bottom of it because I think they speak hugely to who you are. And those 3 words that are at the bottom of this page here are purpose, power, and impact. And you know that I've always thought that the thing that I like the most about you is that you vehemently are those things.
Oh, thank you, Calman.
Yeah, but you, like, you embody it. It's not just words on a page.
You know what? I really, it's taken time to get to the point where you're just like, actually, no, I am these 3 things and it's working and I'm living it and breathing it every day where it's now second nature and you say it without even putting second thought to it. Because you know, when you're starting something like a rebranding and trying to reposition, at first people don't even know what are you talking about. You even, like, you know, you've written it in a document, you've planned it out with your team, you know what it stands for, but it's not yet that second nature that you just, you are that. And now I've gotten to a stage where people say it back to me. And that's when I've realized that, okay, that means that when we thought of these 3 words and we were writing them down and we put them together, it really was the truest essence of me, because now I'm doing it without even having to think about it. And I think that's what true branding is. And that is what living your true purpose is, where people don't question it. They're just like, yeah, those 3 words, totally associated with her, you know?
In a very clinical, like, I studied this, I worked at places that are just about this branding as a word. What does it actually mean to you? What is that word in isolation, in a very clinical sort of fashion? What is branding?
That which you are.
Yeah.
Without the frills and everything. If everybody had to strip the title of what it is that you do away, what are you? So if you take away the fact that I'm on TV and I'm a radio presenter, who am I? That to me is what branding is and what a brand should be. It's once we take away the what you do, who are you? What is the essence of you? What is the essence of what you stand for? Because once you figure that out, you carry it into everything that you do. So whether I now move on to a clothing brand or I move on to making television shows, as in from a production side, for as long as I understand what my core purpose is and where I stand as a brand, everything that I do will speak the same language.
Who is it, though, that's kind of taught you all of this? Because, I mean, the textbooks, they do a great job of expressing the 7 Ps and the 6 Ps
and
the 50,
marketing
everything.
Mix. Don't forget the marketing
the
mix.
The marketing mix and the product life cycles and all of that.
Yeah.
But so, especially in personal branding, so much of it is a feeling.
Yeah.
And an understanding and almost an intuition as well.
Yeah.
And that's pretty natural, right? I mean, that can't be given to you.
I think it is in my case, even though I did study, I have a BCom marketing management degree. So I think whilst I was in the classes and learning those things, I wasn't applying it to myself and I wasn't learning it about myself. It was more, I mean, I wanted to work at like the Unilevers of the world, you know, because then I'd be able to work on different brands within that. But it's really only been, I think I'd say since I left Yo TV, but then a few years after that, when I asked myself, okay, cool, where are we going? Because now it was that age of the starlets and there was so much happening and there was so much noise and it was now about how do you cut through the clutter? How are you going to be this person? And I didn't start at right that point, you know, of writing it down and who am I as a brand and whatnot. And it's really taken bringing people on board who have that skill, because that's the whole thing about being a business. As I walk here and as I walk around, I'm Huli Sunny Ravela Pty Ltd. The moment I started taking myself seriously as that, then I realized, okay, what does any other business or product need? It needs the right branding. And I couldn't do that for myself. So I was with various companies and things would fall apart. So at one time I was with Dream Team Talent, then I brought somebody else on board, and whilst all those relationships have fallen apart as we went along, they've added so much value that all the things that we did about a brand book and breaking it down and who are you has all helped me to be able to get to the point where I was able to do it myself. But had it not been, you know, the Refilwe Ramakgosi and his team, had it not been for Adele Herbst at that time in my career coming on board and being a part of my team and teaching me those things, I would not be able to be at the point where I'm at today where I can do it myself. And not in a cocky way of I don't need anybody else, you know, because I think along the way I'll always need other people to refine, to retouch. Sometimes when you're too close to the brand, you lose your way a little bit, or you don't see what others see. But I'm really at that point where I am able to do it myself. And I was in a meeting today and I was saying to someone, I actually short sell myself sometimes. And that is as a person and a general, that the knowledge that you have, the places that you work, like you said, my time in corporate, all of that has built me into now being able to understand who I am as Hulisani Ravele, the brand, and where it is that I'm trying to go to and what it is that I'm trying to build.
It's quite a journey that you've been on. And I'd like that you speak about sort of what you wanted to do after varsity, because I do remember you were pretty staunch on like, everyone is going to take me very seriously as a marketing
person. I'm going to kick some butt in the corporate world.
I mean, I remember bumping into you, I think it was at 44 Stanley at an agency you were working at, and you were like it was like boss Hulu Sunny, like I'm chasing PO numbers, and I'm like,
and I was,
yeah. And kind of, I mean, so what happened after that? What was the shift?
Okay. So my corporate journey started, it feels like such a long time ago. My corporate journey started in my last year of varsity. Yeah. So that was what, 08? And I joined SABC One in their corporate, in their corporate department, in their public relations department and marketing. And I did that for a year. It was an internship. And after that, I was jobless. I mean, for quite a while, as in TV, corporate, I had no work. Life was tough.
Which
you
is
know?
So unbelievable that someone like you would ever. It's not because of a lack of offers though. I know it's not because of a lack of offers.
And it actually was, because at the same time, the starlets were coming as well. And also I just gotten off YoTV, so I still had that very childish persona and branding around me that I wasn't being taken seriously enough yet for the more grown things. And then the more grown starlets were being entered that people didn't know, so they got all the jobs. But anyway, after my SABC One stint, 2010, I started working at Precult, the digital agency. And I did that for 4 years. And the shift in that came.
It
was 4 years. Like, it was, and I was doing it. I was sitting in boardrooms and people would be like, wait, don't I know your face? And you're just like, we're not there. Just give me the PO so I can just invoice you. And after I left Precult in Feb 2014, the shift came after losing my dad in 2012. And I was like, okay, this man, the way my dad died, he died doing something that he loved. And so in 2012, I was like, hey, girl, like, if you had to go today, are you happy? As much as I was good at the corporate thing and I always had corporate ambitions and I really had to tick that off the list, I then started understanding that that was not my purpose. And that's when I started the purpose, power, impact, building on that, growing on that, and really meditating on that on a spiritual level. Because now you're at a point in your life where you're like, Lord, like, I need purpose in my life. I need you to position me in a place where I feel that I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. And then I came back into the entertainment industry full time, but with a sense of purpose. Now it wasn't a, before I always used to say, TV was something that I stumbled upon and just happened to be good at. When I came back, or when I started making that return in 2014, it was I'm coming back with purpose now. I want to do shows that, you know, positively impact lives. I want to do shows that not only entertain, but also educate. I want to push conversations. I want to draw stories out of people, you know, and have people watching at the end of, at the end of an episode and being like, wow, I learned so much from that person. And all that happens because essentially of the person who's interviewing. Like, as you're sitting there, Kelman, you know the power that you hold as a host, and that an interview is only as good as you are and what you want to draw out of your subject. Otherwise, it's going to be just like any other interview, you know? You and I speak, I think, every year at the same time, but it's always a different conversation that takes both of us to a different level, and we both leave here like, I needed that. So the corporate experience really was something that I loved and enjoyed, and I think I kicked butt at. But it wasn't purpose. It wasn't purpose. But it did help me in all that I am today, because I was a project manager at a digital agency. Mm. I run myself like a project. Like, yeah, you can ask my team now. We have a status report. It's a whole Google spreadsheet that we look into, you know. And had it not been for corporate, I mean, something silly like Google Docs was something that I didn't know, but I learned about in the corporate space. Things like Trello or all these project management systems and apps and things that you use, I wouldn't know had it not been for that time. So all things work together for my good, and all things have worked together for my good. So I'm in a good space, and I thank my corporate experience for that.
Hanging out with Hulisani Ravele, we got to find out what the future holds. But it's so interesting to deconstruct how you get to a point.
Yeah.
Because I think, and we'll pick up on this straight after this, there's a humility almost that comes with working in corporate and having to earn money over 8 hours of a day as opposed to 1 hour of a day. And there's a humility that comes with it, which I think equipped with that, like, you really are set to have an unbelievable 2018, and we're going to speak about what's on the cards. It's all on the other side of this. Hellman on CliffCentral.com. So I know that with you, actually, what did you do for New Year's? Because you weren't sitting writing your goals into like a book or something, right?
No, I actually have not done that. This is the scary thing. I haven't done that. On New Year's Eve, I was by myself on my couch at my house.
Cool.
Watching series. Fell asleep. Woke up. It was midnight. Said a little prayer. Went back to bed. That was my New Year's. I was not in a weird space. I was in the right space that I wanted to be this year. And for both Christmas and New Year, I really didn't want to be around people.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing. I didn't want to be around family. I didn't, and not that I don't love my family. I didn't want to be around those people. I just really just wanted as plain as something is what I wanted.
Is there any reference point that you can look to in your family that's done what you're trying to do? And that you can kind of sort of, and I speak about this, this is a very personally motivated question, because I know, like, in my family context, like, what I do is completely far-fetched and far removed. Like, no, like, they'd honestly rather I was just a chartered accountant.
Normal person.
They'll never say it, but I know deep down they're thinking it. Then every now and then they'll have, I can see hints of like, okay, cool. It seems like he's on the right track. Like, okay, cool.
It looks like it's coming together.
He seems like he can support himself doing this. So it looks like it's okay. But, you know, I always look at like Hollywood kids and then I'm like, yeah, but your parents, like Jaden Smith, great example. Like, he's cool, he's fantastic, but like, yo, he was nurtured in the right environment.
There's no way it was not going to work out.
So with you, is there like any reference point, or is it really like you figured this out and you've, because then it's a double duty you have to do, because you have to explain it to yourself and you have to explain it to everybody else.
I'm the first.
Yeah.
I'm the first in my family to venture out on this kind of a career path. And I think what works in my favor is the fact that I started so young. So I never had to get to the end of high school and justify why I want to go into the entertainment industry. Mm. And I think that was the blessing in disguise. So when I went to varsity, I'm sure that was even more of a shock for my family than anything else, as opposed to maybe if I said I'm going straight into TV production, it still would have made sense to them. But me wanting to go to varsity must have been like a, oh, okay, we didn't think that you'd want to go that route. But I've always had very supportive family, from aunts, uncles, my parents, my siblings. It's always made sense to them. And again, I think I attribute that to having started at a young age. However, I will say, for you to keep it going and keep them believing that you're okay and that you can do this, because I think sometimes maybe my family's not so privy to the hardships of the industry. So you'll see that I'm okay, but maybe, you know, I'm literally just scraping by, but you'll never need to know that, nor will I ever tell you that, maybe except for my brother and my sister. But I'd never make my mom privy to things like that, because I'm just like any other child that doesn't want their parents to worry about
them.
Are things okay, you know? Yeah. But sure, has there been a time when my mom like pays a phone bill for me because she's just like, are you okay? And I'm just like, yo, it's been a tough month. And she's just like, don't worry, I've got your phone bill. I have had that, yes.
So you've got the support system there, which is super
important.
I do,
which is amazing. But I think, again, it's like you're saying, you have the double duty of also making it work. So yeah. I think with the generation, we're like the in-between. I always say we're like, we have part of our parents and then we have part of the millennial youthfulness or whatnot. And the responsibility is to make them understand and also make them believe that you're okay and that you can do it. So my advice to anyone wanting to come into the entertainment industry in this day and age where their parents are just like, no, I just want you to be in something stable, is to basically sell it to them like a business plan. Sell it to them like, I want to study radio because once I get into radio, I can work in these kinds of stations. This is the kind of money people get paid, so that they can see that this is a viable career. Because what you need to understand is that our parents were born in a time where careers like this
didn't exist,
yeah. You know? And as the times go, even more careers are going to come that never existed. I mean, to be a social influencer, to be a blogger, things like that make no sense to our parents. It's like, but you're just on the internet. What money are you making? But if you can show them that this is how blogging works, this is how I can make money, these are the kind of brands I want to work with and work for, you really need to pitch it to them so that they understand. I liken it to sport. A lot of people don't enjoy certain sports because they don't understand them. So your parents cannot, you cannot expect this full-on 100% support if they don't understand what it is that you're trying to do and you're not trying to explain it to them in terms that they understand. So you just need to go that extra effort. And it's not because they don't want you to flourish or don't want you to be happy. I think it's because they really just want security for you, especially if they grew up in a time where job security was not something that was the norm or something – or where they couldn't follow their passion. They're scared for you. They're scared that if you follow their passion, your passion, you're not going to be financially okay. You're not going to be okay. And I think that's what a parent always worries about. They just want their kids to be okay.
Absolutely. So this year ahead, how are you approaching it? I mean, you're smiling.
Oh, with vigor, with vigor. I'm entering.
No, tell me how you really feel.
How I really feel. Well, I'm going on holiday. I don't know about y'all. Now that all you people that were away.
Oh, is it happening now?
I'm going on holiday now. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to Cape Town this weekend, just pre-birthday things. And then I'm taking my mom away the week after. Now that everyone is back at work.
Yeah.
That's the time to go on holiday. this year, Calvin, I think the mindset for me is do it. Do it, do it, do it. Because I'm a very confident person. And I'm confident in my dreams and the things that I want to do. But sometimes I lack that push in myself of just go. You know, I because I'm a perfectionist, I like everything to be in place before I start. And I like to do it perfectly. So I don't want to go, I don't want to bootstrap it. You know, I want things to come out right and for it from the get-go to be big and to be amazing. But I have slowly learned that sometimes you just need to start small and start where you are, and then it will grow into what you want it to be. But if you're not going to be willing to start, it's never going to happen. And that's been a tough lesson for me to learn, because remember, I've been in the industry since I was 9. So for as long as I can remember, everything has always been sort of ready. Do you know what I mean? Like moving on to Yo TV, onto a next show. I've never known what it means to start from basically base zero, and going from kids TV and being a grown up now is basically starting at base zero again and having to figure all of that out. So 2018 for me is a year of build it and they'll come. A friend of mine and I were saying the other day, we're talking about Sun City and we were like, we couldn't believe that Saul Kersner just found a place in the middle of nowhere, built this thing, and he was like, no, people will buy into it, you know? And look at it now, guys. You will drive from Joburg for 2 hours to go and gamble there, you know?
In the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere. And I think the lesson from that is build it and they will come. And the other thing is also, I'm approaching this year with the mindset of believe it enough that you can do it without other people's backing. Because the other thing is, when you are trying to start so many things and you need money to start them, you really need to look at the entrepreneurs in other industries. And it's a little harder in the television one, you know, because we don't sell a product, or I believe, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't sell a product like water. We can't say water is 4 Rand to make and we're going to sell it for 10 Rand. So we'll definitely make 6 Rand profit. It's so much different in television. You don't know for sure if your product is going to be scooped up. And even then, if it becomes something that's a commissioned project, you're not getting every line item is accounted for. All you're getting is that 10%, 20% production fee, you know?
Yeah,
so the true value of what your concept is never comes back to you. And that's difficult. It's difficult to part with something that you believe in so much, but you will never truly own if it's a commission, you know? And then you have to go and sell it as an AFP and there's all these other things. So 2018, I really am just trying to believe it and go. And also, the word is, the word that I got from a friend last week was, you're not asking for big enough. So I was just like, huh? What do you mean? You know, what do you mean I'm not asking for big enough? So like right now, for instance, I still drive my first car. So my Polo and I, we've seen 270,000 odd kilometers. Like, oh my word. But at the same time, I'm just like, okay, I want to get a new car. But then I'm just like, but get a small car that just gets you from A to B and it's not such a big thing. But deep down, I know the kind of car I actually want, you know, but I'm just like, let me be conservative about it, you know, whatnot. And that message to me, like, think big and go for it as big as it is. It's just a message to me to be like, no, girl, you have got it in you to be able to accomplish these big things that you lay out for yourself.
Yeah.
Just go out and do it and everything will fall in place. I mean, a small lesson in faith. Let me tell you this funny thing about this trip that I'm taking my mom to Mauritius with. I don't have money for this trip to like pay for it, you know, because I mean, all my monies have been invested in certain things and projects and whatnot. And I was just like, I want to take my mother to Mauritius. She's never been overseas. So first passport. She turned 60 in November and I said to her, so if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go? And she just wants to go to Mauritius. And then, I mean, as I sit here right now, I'm only booking the trip today because the funds only came through today.
Hmm.
But all along, it was just a lesson of faith of, it's going to come through. Don't worry. Like, don't worry. And literally, Calvin, I cannot tell you, I sat in December and a campaign came along that I did not even have to go out looking for. They literally picked up the phone and they're like, hi, can you start? Can you start today? Can we pay you today? Can we do this right here, right now? And that is what I'm going into 2018 with. I'm going in with that mindset of, yay, I'm there. Whoever needs to come along will meet me at that point. Top. I'm just going now. I'm just going. And one of the things I've launched that I'd put off for such a long time, I posted about it, I think it was yesterday, The Minute with Ulisani Ravele, which is just going to be a minute of sharing where I'm at in my mind, where I'm at, what my opinions are on either political, social issues, because no one wants to give me a talk show, right? So I'm just going to create my own platform and I'm going to start talking. And by the time you guys catch up with me, I don't know if y'all going to be able to afford me, but you know, it's that thing of start where you are with what you can and then you'll see where it goes from there. And also targets are a big thing for me this year. I've, you know, recently been introduced to a mindset of you need to put numbers to it.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, as much as we are like, we're going to do our voiceovers, we're going to do our whatnot, you know? And we're just like, yeah, cool.
Have a goal, yeah.
We're like, the money is coming in, whatnot. But then it's like, no. We're businesses, aren't we? Mm. So let's set the goals. There's no business that is running out there without targets set for itself. Yeah. So why should it be different for you as an individual, as a PTY LTD, as a voiceover artist, as a person on radio? Why can you not set those goals for yourself to be like, actually, on a financial perspective, the goal is X amounts of rents. Because then you've got targets that you need to meet. You've got targets that you need to be working towards. So had a status team with the team this morning and there's a number that I put there and they were like, yeah, how about this number? Hey, I'm just like, look guys, we break it down into 12 months. This is how much we are trying to make every single month.
Mm.
And this is how we can, these are the different revenue streams. This is how we can do it. But I want us to always be working towards a target. And that honestly came as a result of being around people and persons with a mindset like that, who are pushing you. I mean, I had a friend sending me a message yesterday saying, so where are you on this thing? And I'm just like, oh, okay. If you're holding me so accountable, I need to keep moving. Do you know what I mean? I need to keep it moving. So yeah, man, my new year usually starts on my birthday. And when I go away and have time to just have an introspection, and I'm blessed that I have a birthday in January. So have I set goals for the new year? Not down on paper, but I know what the vision is and whatnot. And it's also my 30th year. I turn 30 next week, Tuesday. So it's a big year.
Yeah.
But what I'm grateful for is that I don't feel the pressure of by 30, I should have had, by 30, I should be here and whatnot. I really am. I'm just at such peace. I lost a lot in 2017 in many aspects, and 2018 is just new beginnings. If I can encapsulate everything I've said of answering your question for the last 15 minutes, it's new beginnings. There was a service at church and they're talking about how 7 is the number of completion. It's the number of it is done, and how anything you've been struggling with in the last few years, it's finished. It's done. 8 is a new beginning. It's a new start. And if you look at everything that's happened to me in 2017 and other things that you may not know about, 2017 was really a year of loss for me. Mm. And I lost many things, but I think that it was in preparation for what 2018 is going to bring.
Sure. It's, you had me so there, and I was like, and I was feeling it. And then you brought in the sevens thing, and the sevens thing is actually, across multiple religions and spiritualities.
Seven is a big thing.
It's a huge number.
It's a huge number.
I always say, like, you know, when you're 7, you start grade 1. When you're 14, you go to high school. When you're 21, you move out of home.
Yep.
28, 29, all in that range, like you'll see that a lot of stuff happens for a lot of people and stuff works in sevens.
Yeah.
So then you just, then I was just like, well, now I don't even know what to say. So now I'm just going to play a song and we're going to land it with Huli Sani on the other side of this. Kelman on CliffCentral.com. Okay, so we know what 2018 holds. We're super excited. It's almost your birthday. It's things with the sevens, all of that. And I actually think I'm going to let you kind of sort of land it almost. I mean, you're very esteemed in this.
I'm trying to figure out this live video thing, and it's not working out because now it's just black, and I'm just like...
Oh, no, you got to get that working first.
I'm just like, what's going on here? I'm pressing all the right buttons. Oh, well, it is what it is. Technology just doesn't want you to be great sometimes, Carmen.
It doesn't want to work for you
today. I feel like you must just keep the listener entertained for three seconds while I figure this thing out.
So hang out with Huli Sani, and like I said, it is going to be her birthday really, really soon. She's about to go on a great trip. She's doing a holiday thing, everything. She, though, is various. She's been doing this since the age of 9. Some of us.
All my life.
So I'm actually going to kind of let you land it with whatever you feel there is left to say.
Mm.
Kind of. And, you know, I think what's cool about you is that for a consistent long period of time, you have inspired other people. For a lot of people, you get nervous when you see a Times Live article. You get nervous. You think like, oh no, here they are with more tragedy, more this, more that. And with you, it's always like this super strong, socially conscious message. And like, I'm changing the world. And that's the reason, like, and I posted this and I believe this. And like, and I think, so I never get nervous when I'm on Facebook, because first it shows you when you're scrolling down timeslive.com, then it shows you the name, and then you see the picture.
Like, oh.
With you, though, I'm always like, yes, she's told someone good things that they needed to hear.
Or she's put someone in her place, but in a good way.
Yeah, like she's done something that's going to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of want to land it? Because I think that for a lot of people, you represent a lot and you speak for a lot of people that may not necessarily know what their voice is yet.
Mm-hmm. I think it's we're in such a new beginnings time. And again, it goes back to that number 8. And last year, standing in on talk radio and having the opportunity to just interview people who opened my mind and my thinking up to so many things. I think one of the things people really need to look out for in this year is being open to learn new ways and new things, because the way of old is done and it's finished. And this was something that I learned about while interviewing a certain guest who was talking about how if you look at the world right now, everything is on a knife's edge. Everything is changing. Like there's so much fighting. There's so much hear us, hear our voice. There's so much, uproar about, you know, like they said, little things, according to other people, about the monkey and it's not that serious and whatnot. And all these things that are happening, natural disasters and everything, is Mother Nature in her own way fighting back to be like, it's not where it's meant to be. And the only way I'm going to get it back to where I need it to be is that I need to deconstruct it and break it down and start all over again. Mm. And I believe that that's where the world is, and that's where we are as people, and that's where you should be as an individual as well. Last year I learned about things like retrograde. Is it retrograde? Retro? Retro?
Retrograde.
When the planets are basically moving in reverse. So there was a big thing. Which planet was in retrograde? Was it Mars? There was this whole big thing towards the end of the year. I think it was like October or something. And everybody was talking about, this planet is in retrograde and what. And I was like, what does all of that mean? You know, whatnot. And this astrology lady was basically explaining it as, you know, when it happens a few times a year when a certain planet is moving in a reverse direction. And during that time, it's not a time for you to make big decision. It's not a time for you to, you know, start something new. But it also depends on which planet is in retrograde and why it's in that position and what it is saying about that. But the point I'm trying to make here is that had I not been a person that was open to learning new things about things like, well, retrograde and planets and whatnot, I wouldn't understand so many things. I could just put things in perspective. And I then went back into my year and I thought about, okay, let's look at when these planets were retrograding and which ones they were. And so many things made sense. So many things aligned. And the one thing she said about the retrograde that was towards the end of the year, Mercury, that's the planet that was in retrograde. Sorry, that was bugging me. Was that it was a time to reflect and look within about things that are not working. It was just a time for you to stand still. And what then made sense to me was that the last time you and I spoke, 2016, we were like, yeah, 2016 was the year that I felt like I was being made ready, and 2017 is going to be the year I'm going to make things happen. And that didn't happen, or it didn't happen to the scale that I wanted them to happen. It felt like yet another preparation year, but just on a slightly higher level. And when she was talking about this Mercury thing and how it was actually a time for you to stand still, I then suddenly got why certain things are not working. Because she was like, you might find that you were presenting things or trying things, but nothing was going through. Nothing was happening. But that's because the planets in themselves, the universe in itself, were saying, stand still. Stand still. And of course, when a force is telling you to stand still and you're trying to push ahead, what's going to happen? It's going to cause the biggest friction and unhappiness in your life, because you're just going to feel like, I'm failing. And I'm not saying, you know, use that as an excuse to not try things and do things. But when you have an understanding of what's happening around you more as an individual and the world that you're in and around you and different learnings, and that can be from spiritual to ancestry to astrology to whatnot, I just think all those things play such an important role and build us and teach us different things. But it's all saying the same thing, just in different ways. But when you open your mind up to things like that, you start having a greater understanding of things that possibly you didn't understand about yourself before, or you didn't understand about the space that you were in. But in hindsight, when I looked at it, I was just like, wow, it actually makes sense. So you know, having those kinds of conversations and being around people who can stimulate that kind of thinking in you, stimulate different thoughts and worlds and things that you never would have ventured into, is what life is about. And the one thing I really feel in my heart, and I think it's because I experienced it in 2017 that I want to land on, is loss is okay. It's making way for new things. And it's not the loss that everybody will think I'm talking about. Mm. No, I'm not talking about the relationship. Fail. It's not what I'm talking about. But I lost a friend in 2017, and it's something that it's actually the first time I speak about it. And not lost as in they passed away, but lost as in we are no longer in each other's lives, you know? And I took that very hard. It was so challenging, so emotionally and mentally just debilitating to a certain extent, because this is a person that's been in your life forever, and you're like, they're gonna be in my life forever. And then suddenly things happen and you're not in each other's lives anymore. And I just was around people who were saying to me, but your happiness matters. And does this new thing make you happy? And I was like, yes, it does. And they're like, then that's enough. And that was something that was difficult for me to grasp as a concept, because I am so invested in keeping peace and everybody being happy and everybody getting along. Like, even in my family, I'm that person that's just like, I don't like it when there's fighting, whatnot. You know, I want everybody to be together. And the end of 2017 was a lesson in it's okay to be selfish. And it comes back to that lesson that Iyanla always talks about how you cannot pour from a cup that's not full. Everybody else is supposed to be getting the extras of you. When the saying says, my cup overfloweth, you people must get the overfloweth part, but I must be full as a person first. And if I'm not full, if I'm not happy and I'm not okay, that means the happiness that I'm giving you is at the expense of me. Mm-hmm. That means the joy I'm bringing to you is at the expense of me. You know, it makes me happy to see you happy, but that means that there's a part of me that is not full. And the reason that was so important to me was because what the person had said to me was, I can't believe you put your happiness above mine. Or I can't believe you chose yourself above our friendship. And that was deep in the moment because I was just like, okay, but this really does make me happy. But okay, I just didn't know what to do. And someone said, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you putting your happiness above other people. Hmm. And that took me months to really, I think I'm only starting to make peace with it now that, okay, cool. I get it. I get that it's okay to put yourself first. And sometimes that will make sense to other people. And what is also okay is for people to go their separate ways, to wish each other well, and to understand that their part in your story is done, even if it's someone that you thought would never leave your life.
Yeah.
And that's difficult because I think a loss of someone who's still alive and you still bump into
is
worse than a person who's just gone completely and is 6 feet under and they're not there anymore. So I'm ready for new beginnings on
many levels.
On all levels. And you know, I'm excited about what is new and what is coming, but also because I'm opening myself up to it. And often when you are a person that's so, you know, prim and proper and your things are planned and whatnot, when things catch you off guard, you're not ready for it, it really does take a lot out of you. It brings you to a level of, you know, speaking and seeking. And I always say this, that it doesn't matter what or who you seek it from. Just understand that you're going to need to tap into a higher power
at some point.
Often. And that is the only way I was able to find peace with my situation. It was constantly like, me and Bra God were like this, hey, we're in the same WhatsApp group. He knows. I can just send that flame. I just need to send emojis to God and God knows what the problem is. But it got me to a space of constantly seeking validation, but not validation from people.
Yeah.
I didn't need it from people around me. I didn't need it from people to say you did the right thing. I needed something higher to tell me that I'd done the right thing and I'd made the right decision. And every time that higher power balanced me and showed me, I was just like, okay. But the important thing is I didn't need it to happen once. I constantly kept on having to ask, and that's okay. That's okay. I think sometimes we think that we need to get over something so quickly and it must be done. But no, it's a process, and a process takes time. If you're truly going to heal of something, you need to allow it to take the time that it's going to take. It's that whole thing when they say, when you're going through something, keep going, because you need to go through it. Like, if you stop yourself in it and force yourself to be okay just like that, it's going to come back and bite you at some point. But I'm just at a point where I am at peace with everything that happened to me in 2017. Everything I lost, everything I gained, I'm at peace. And that's why somebody said to me on Instagram, you're undraggable. and honestly, because it's not that I don't see articles being written about me that are perhaps in a negative light or with false information, or, you know, people saying things that I'm just like, oh, I wish I could correct you. That's not what happened. But because I'm at such a higher level of peace, I'm just like, hey, fam,
do what you gotta do.
There's something else that's fighting for me that is on a way higher level that I don't need to deal with this fight. This is not my fight to have.
Oh, it's always so good to hang out with you. It's always so, so good.
I feel like we're always like a ping pong thing. We go there, we go here, but at the end of the day, we land. We feel good. No, but
I think, like, authenticity is the buzzword of 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, maybe 2021. Someone will come with something new.
Yeah.
But you embody it, so.
Thank you.
So you embody the buzz. So you're very on trend.
I'm very on trend. Kalman, you know, I often wonder if I'm on trend, but I think it's exactly what Oprah said at the Golden Globes, that the whole thing about being your truest self is the most powerful thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are only waking up to it now. So those of us that have been in it,
they
hey, man, we're at the
people
forefront.
People are more allowed to open up to it now.
Yeah. And people want that because when you hold up the truest sense of you, it gives other people permission to be themselves too. Now we're not all trying to be slay queens because it's like, okay, me, I can't relate to the slay queen, but I can relate to this girl because, hey, man, she looks like, you know, she's doing what she needs to be doing. And that's the thing that people ask, like, so have you been able to stay in this industry for 21 years and you haven't gone crazy? And it's just like, I think cool blessing that I started when I was young. So I don't know what it feels like to want to be famous. I don't know what that feels like. I don't know what that craving feels like. So I don't know what I would be willing to do to get the fame, which is a blessing for me. But now my role is to just continue living my truth, living life at my pace, running my race at my own pace, because what I'm seeing is that it is allowing other people to find comfort and peace in doing the same thing. But I'm not doing it as a, here's a package, Wulisani's package so nicely, she's selling this thing. No, I'm just doing it. This is me when I wake up every day. This is it. This is it.
So cool.
My pimple and all. I was telling everyone about my big pimple that's down here. I don't know why it's here.
No, it's
but that's
go.
What it
it's
is.
It's going to go. It's going to go. You know I'm the biggest fan. I always, when I see you, I'm reminded, like, you're just a rock star. It's Wulisani Ravela. There's actually nothing more left to say. I said she would end it. She's ended it. Thank you so much for stopping by.
I love you, Calvin.
I'm excited to watch everything unfold. What a rock star. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m. Peace out. I mean, if that's not going to get you motivated, then then you can actually message me and say, don't come back tomorrow, bro. Because, I mean, if you don't feel something after that, then honestly, fair. I don't mind just not coming back tomorrow.
Just keep running your own race at your own pace, because you will die out there trying to keep up with people. You will die. You'll die. Kalman on CliffCentral.com.